Therefore, he became very anxious about Arjuna, who was long absent. And there was no news about Dwarka's well-being. He suspected the disappearance of Lord Krishna. Otherwise, there would have been no possibility for fearful omens. This is the same verse I read the last time. Read the next verse. Kalasya chagatim rodram vya viparyastar tudarmina papiyasum nirinam vartam krodha loban ritatmanam. He saw that the direction of eternal time had changed, and this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. People in general had become very greedy, angry, and deceitful. And he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood. Purport. When civilization is disconnected from the loving relation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, symptoms like changes of seasonal regulations. Anyone observe anything like that lately?
Yeah.
Foul means of livelihood. Greed, anger, and fraudulence become rampant. Sounds like the European Union. The change of seasonal regulations referred to the atmosphere of one season becoming manifest in another season. For example, the rainy season being transferred to autumn, or the fruits and flowers of one season fructifying in another season. A godless man is invariably greedy, angry, and fraudulent. Such a man can earn his livelihood by any means, black or white. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, all the above symptoms were conspicuous by their absence. Maharaj Yudhisthira was astonished to experience even a slight change in the godly atmosphere of his kingdom, and at once he suspected the disappearance of the Lord. Foul means of livelihood implies deviation from one's occupational duty. There are prescribed duties for everyone, such as the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, but one of them who deviates from his prescribed, any one of them who deviates from his prescribed duty declares another's duty to be his own is following a foul and improper duty. Man becomes too greedy for wealth and power when he has no higher objective in life, and when he thinks that this earthly life of a few years is all in all. Ignorance is the cause of all these anomalies in human society. To remove this ignorance, especially in this age of degradation, the powerful sun is there to distribute light in the shape of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mom Vishnu Praya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutre Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Saraswatum Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyadhyade Siddharane. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nashti Buddhya Yuktasya Nacha Yuktasya Bhavanaha Nacha Bhavyantak Shantir Ashantasya Kutak Sukham. That for one who's not in transcendental or spiritual consciousness, can have neither, or a Krishna consciousness, can have neither a controlled mind nor a steady intelligence, without which there can be no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? Ete vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. People don't know that the aim of life is to obtain Krishna. And because they don't know that, therefore they're looking in so many different ways to obtain the goal of life. The goal of life is to become happy. Everyone wants to feel happiness all the time. But Krishna says there can be no question of happiness unless one first of all becomes peaceful. Just like I gave an analogy sometimes in classes, that for instance, if we were giving everyone here a free ticket to fly to India for, I guess, what's the next festival? Janmashtami is the next one. Nrisimhadev's appearance day in Mayapur. So how many of our guests and devotees here will accept a free ticket to fly to India for Nrisimhadeva's appearance day. Luckily, well, Manaharpuru is not here, but since his temple is so rich, I'm sure they can give you at least one free ticket, if not two. Depends how many are in the family. So just imagine we're flying to India, and the airplane pilot makes an announcement, and he says, Hare Krishna. Welcome to Air Hare Krishna. We hope you enjoy the flight. We're going to have a 15-course feast on the flight. Five curd subjis, lasagna, pizza, ice cream, halva, gulab jamuns, and a few special things. So we hope you enjoy the flight. We also have a movie called Hare Krishna's Taking Prasadam After the Fast in Mayapur. Defying the laws of physics, putting big things in little places. So we hope you enjoy the rest of the flight. Only one other short announcement. Unfortunately, the Hare Krishnas didn't have enough money to fill up the tank with gas. So therefore, this airplane is about to crash into the ocean. It'll take 1/2 hour before we run out of fuel. So we should be able to serve out practically the whole feast. So we hope you enjoy the rest of the flight. And on the way down, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And one other thing, our co-pilot has assured us that if you like the movie, because we can only show half of it, if you pray to Krishna, I'm sure he'll let you come back and see the other half. All of us are on a flight, and at the end the flight crashes. But in the meantime, we're trying to enjoy it. But actually in the back of our mind, we know we're running out of fuel gradually. Therefore, before we crash, we should know actually how to make a safe landing. That safe landing is only in Krishna consciousness. We have to know that the actual goal of life is to become Krishna conscious. That will actually make us happy. Not only make us happy, but yanena tutar agyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham adityavaj gyanam prakashiti tatparam. One, however, and one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So now we're in darkness, and in darkness, the primary, as we're reading this morning, in the nectar, Namamrita, that the major problem in this world is fear. Everyone is afraid. Because as soon as we get a body, then there is an inevitable destination for the body. We don't know if we're going to die today or we're going to die tomorrow. We don't know when the final act comes. Right now we're imagining we're some kind of hero or heroine in some kind of great drama, and we're the star actor. But there's an end to the play, and we don't live here happily ever after at the end. We may live ever after, but in the material world, punak punas charvita charvananam. It is the same fearful situation. Whether we get the body of Lord Brahma or the body of an ant, we're always going to be fearful in the material world of the next impending demise of our body. The only solution to that problem is to get out of material concept of life, which is all due to avidya or ignorance. Avidya manifests itself as asmita, our false ego. Due to the false ego, we think we're the body, and as Krishna says, chintyam apareyam cha pralayantam upashitya kama papoga paramam etavam iti nischitya asha pasha shuterabhada kama krodha parayana ihanti kama bogartam anyen artha sanchaya. They believe to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. the whole society is just geared up for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's what people are meditating on. What is there to eat? Where is there a place to sleep? How am I going to have a nice relationship with people, enjoy others, and defend about myself from all my enemies, whether it be the vicious germs that are looking to attack me, or the bacteria, or the terrorists, or whoever, the pickpocket down the street. Everyone's out to get you. If you feel that everyone's out to get you, you're right. You're not paranoid, you're just in awareness, that's all. Because in the material world, jiva sajivanam, everyone is more or less a victim for everyone else here. As soon as we enter into the material consciousness, then we have to accept the modes of material nature. In goodness, perhaps, there's some equilibrium. People are trying to find some balance. But goodness is quite rare in Kali Yuga. Generally, everyone is fired up to get more and more sense gratification. No one is satisfied. It's never enough. And therefore, it's always more or less people are trying to get some kind of new happiness out of eating. Therefore, they change the color or they change the way the food is prepared. They try to do something to make it more interesting, something new. Similarly, you can sleep in this hotel, or you can sleep on a waterbed, you can sleep on the sand, you can put somewhere or another, find some new place to sleep. And of course, sex, you know, sex with this, that, whatever, living, dead, whatever. It doesn't make any sense. Try something new. And as far as defending, well, there is no end to the amount of fear people have, because the more they're absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, then the more they're absorbed in the material concept of life, the more fearful they have. If you have one car, you're fearful, someone is going to hit my car. Someone's going to put a dent in my car, I need insurance, I had to put oil in my car. And if you get two cars, then you have twice the anxiety. They think it's progress, getting more and more material things, but then we get more and more anxiety over how to maintain these things. But it's all due to avidya, because we're looking for happiness, asmita, due to our false ego, in a place where it doesn't really exist. We're thinking raga and dvesha, somehow or another, this is going to produce happiness, attachment and aversion. The more I become attached to something, the more I'm going to be able to enjoy it. Unfortunately, the more we become attached to something, then the more we get accustomed to it, and after a while, we lose our taste for it. Bhoga tyaga. So one moment we're in love with something, we're deeply affected by it, the next moment we become averse to it. That's just the nature of the material world. From lust comes greed. We think, oh, now I have lust, I must be in love. But then we become more and more greedy to enjoy that lust, and eventually we can't enjoy it anymore and we become angry and frustrated. And then we blame the other person, everyone else, on why I'm not happy. It couldn't be my fault. I'm full of lust and greed. Isn't that the goal of life, is increase your lust and greed? Isn't that the path to everlasting happiness? And then we become deluded that someone's interfering with my ability to gratify my senses. They're the enemy. He is my enemy and I've killed him. And my other enemies will be killed. I am the perfect, powerful, and happy. So one becomes more and more absorbed in the demoniac conception of life. And you may think that a demon, one who's in the demoniac conception of life, they'd learn something. They'd learn that trying to gratify the senses unto the end of life won't actually make them happy. But because their intelligence is taken away by illusion, they don't learn anything. Just like a dog. A dog, you're eating at the table, prasad of course, and the dog wants to come and eat also, but you don't want the dog at the table. So the dog comes to the table, you take a newspaper and you whack him, And he runs away. But 5 minutes later, he's looking at the table again. He completely forgot what happened 5 minutes before. And he's back at the table. Whack! And until you chain the dog up so he can't move, he's going, then he can't remember what happened 5 minutes before. So, not only we're in delusion, but our memory is taken away. So though we suffer repeatedly, still we forget. We think, oh, this time it's going to be nice. Maya says, come this time and enjoy. Just like you go fishing. Of course, we don't go fishing, but someone who goes fishing, they take their reel, their rod, the bait, the hook, the line, and they throw it all into the line and the hook and the bait into the ocean. And all the fish, they're knocking each other out, trying to get the bait. And finally, one big macho fish knocks the other ones out of the way, gets the bait. Rah, got it. Rah, I'm enjoying. Rah, 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 rah. And then the fisherman reels him up. And he takes him into his hand in a loving way. Oh, my dear fish. Zip. And cuts him open. Throws out his inside. And then throws him on the frying pan and fries him. So he thought, I'm going to enjoy. And maybe for a few seconds he enjoyed. But at the end he's simply fried. So that's material life. Maya says, come and enjoy, come and enjoy. And at the end everyone is just fried. So real knowledge is that we have to focus our attention on Krishna, because he can actually enlighten us as to our identity. Krishna was, when Vyasadeva was morose, because although he had perfected his material knowledge, but it was still in the realm of avidya. Therefore, Narada Muni, his spiritual master, told him to think about Krishna. Bhakti yogena manasi, samyak pranite male, apaisha purusham purnam, maya cha tad apaishraya. So he actually fixed his mind upon Krishna. Samyak. He actually spent the time and he sat there and thought about Krishna. Without any other distraction. Purely, amala. And then he's by the process of bhakti, not only trying to meditate upon Krishna, but with the idea of trying to please Krishna as Krishna's servant. Bhakti yogena manasi, samyak pranihite male, apaisha purisham purnam. And he saw Krishna was full in everything. He was the perfection of experience. And on his backside was Maya. So Maya, being embarrassed, was hiding on Krishna's back. But then he also said, Sora, yayasamavita jiva atmakam tri mukatmakam tri gunatmakam puropi manyate narata chatmikam pratipadyate. He also saw the jivas, and they were completely crazy. They were completely in ignorance, running around the world, mad people, going shop to shop, looking to buy something to make them happy. No one has bought anything in this material world from any shop so far and has made them happy. Can you mention one person? You go in their house and their just tears are flowing from their eyes, their body shivering, and they point to the basket that they just bought last week. There's nothing we can buy in this material world that's actually going to make us happy. Not only that, what to speak of happiness, there's nothing we're going to buy in this material world that's going to protect us. And without protection, without real protection, we can't be peaceful. It's not that the robbers come into our house with guns blazing, they look at our basket and they say, oh, wait a second, we got the wrong house. They have the magic basket. You're protected. No, there's nothing we can buy that's going to protect this body, protect anyone's body, including our relatives, our family, our country. There's no magic formula. the only formula is to become Krishna conscious. That has to be one's conviction. Yasamoite jiva. Otherwise, we're completely covered. Atmakamchi gunatmakam. And therefore, we have to suffer the threefold miseries. It's not that we're going to accept the material body and everything will be all right. I don't mind having a body. Unfortunately, we can't keep the body. And in the midst of having a body, we have to work so hard just to make so we don't become completely miserable. Just like if there is no heat in this temple right now, it was freezing cold like outside, who would come to listen to class? Of course, then the class would become even more vivid. We could talk about the miseries of cold. And everyone would go, yeah, there. He knows what he's talking about. Yeah, it's practical experience. So we're working so hard to avoid miseries, you know, from other people. When we pass by people, we say hello so they don't, you know, criticize us for being impolite. We dress in a certain way so that people won't criticize me. We talk in a certain way so people don't criticize me. We do so many different things. We go to the gym to lift weights so when people see me, they don't criticize me. So many different ways we're avoiding the miseries of other living entities. If it was summer, we'd be putting on mosquito repellent or whatever else. We'd have the flies and we'd be swatting them away. So other living entities are causing us so many problems. And, of course, our own body. We either eat too much or eat too little. We sleep too much or we sleep too little. And if one day everything goes all right, we're afraid what's going to happen tomorrow. As soon as everything goes all right, then immediately we get in the mood. Well, everything's going all right. Now I can enjoy. And as soon as we enjoy, then everything goes upside down. So there are threefold miseries and living entities in the midst of that. So he doesn't know how to get out of it. Therefore, anarto pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga dehokshaje lokasya janato vidvan chakre satvita samhita. That therefore the learned Srila Vyasadeva, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't know how valuable the Bhagavatam is until we actually enter into the Bhagavatam. The way we enter into the Bhagavatam is simply try to hear it. Of course, hearing is a little bit different from just sitting here and trying to listen to it. It also takes an attitude. First of all, it takes an attitude of reverence. If we think, oh, I heard this yesterday, and I'll probably, if I come here tomorrow, I'll hear the same thing, and I heard it last week, and they keep on saying the same thing over and over again, that you're not the body, and that Krishna is God, he's full of bliss and full of knowledge, and he's eternal, and we're supposed to be full of knowledge and full of bliss and eternal too. That's right. I already know the philosophy. What's next? Therefore, Krishna doesn't simply say, as the Bhagavad Gita, man mana bhava man bhakto madhya jimam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te prati jani priyosime. He says, think about me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. The result is you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're a very my dear friend. Give up all varieties of religion and just surrender into it. So most people in the material world will think, oh, that's a very good idea. I've already done that. I've given up all varieties of religion. That makes a lot of sense. But surrender to Krishna, oh, come on, that's too much. Next he's going to tell us he's God. Or he's going to protect us, right? That's what everyone says. So Krishna is just, you know, but at least he gave us some good information. No, Krishna has to speak the whole Bhagavad Gita so we can actually begin to understand what it's all about. For instance, jayato vishyam pumsam. While contemplating the objects of the senses, it's not that we can look around the material world and try to enjoy subtle sense gratification, looking at objects of beauty and trying to relish them and enjoy them and imagine within our mind that, you know, actually, I'm actually Romeo, although it looks like I'm a poverty-stricken bum on the street. But actually, in my mind, I'm Romeo, or I'm Juliet, or I'm Tarzan, or I'm Jane, or I'm Mickey Mouse, or I'm Minnie Mouse. Somehow or another, people have this idea I can look around and just live in my imagination and everything will be sublime. But actually, we get caught up in the material nature. As soon as we stop thinking about Krishna, then at once the illusory energy grabs hold of us. And the whole pattern follows. From contemplation comes lust, comes greed, comes anger, comes delusion, comes bewilderment to memory. And when memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And then we're swimming in the ocean of material desire, and material experience, and material conception of life. And we think, well, this is not so bad. In the future, I'll actually get what I'm contemplating, and then everything will be wonderful. And therefore, we work like a dog, we eat like a hog, we sleep like a bear, we have sex like a pigeon, we defend ourselves like a tiger, and we think we're making progress. Without the knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, to stop looking around the material world trying to look, what can I enjoy here? Because as long as we're doing that, we can't really focus our mind upon Krishna. And if we don't focus our mind upon Krishna in the proper mood of service, then the result is we can't really experience what's actually going on. The curtain of Maya covers us, and even Krishna may be present there in his name, but the question is, we're covered, we're under the cover of Maya, of illusory energy. And therefore, we can't relish the presence of Krishna because we're not really paying attention to him. We're in some other world. Even though Krishna is present in his holy name, we ourselves are in some other universe. It's not the spiritual world. Therefore, we have to cut through the illusion of Maya with a sort of knowledge, with a sort of understanding. And therefore, although Maya comes and advertises, come and enjoy, come and enjoy, then we turn our face away from Maya and we turn it to Krishna. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve se shantimat noti nakama kami. That just like the incessant flow of desires are entering into our mind, just like the rivers flow into the ocean, the self-realized person, or the person who's not disturbed, Krishna says, by the incessant flow of desires that are entering like rivers into the ocean. Let's start that again. The person who's not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter into the mind, just like the rivers enter into the ocean, can actually obtain peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So we can expect, due to our conditioning since time immemorial, these material desires are not going to go away. And if you think you have no material desires, just sit down and chant japa for a little while. As soon as we start chanting japa, we become a little bit more conscious. Right now we're unconscious. Just a little bit above sleep. This is our daydream. We're walking around in a daydream thinking I'm, you know, this and I'm that. And it's a little bit of unconsciousness. And then we think, oh, I have no material desires. I've been chanting for at least a couple of weeks. I'm pretty pure. And then we start chanting and then all the material desires come sweeping in. And then we were thinking, well, this chanting is making my mind disturbed. Maybe I was so happy and peaceful before I started to chant. This chanting is very, you know, it must be of the devil. There was one Christian said, your philosophy, it must be of the devil. Because only the devil could have invented such an intelligent philosophy. Philosophy. So we're thinking, I was so happy, peaceful before I started to chant. And then all these desires started to appear within our mind, and therefore I'm so agitated. Maybe I should go out, you know, get a drink. Calm my mind down due to this agitating Hare Krishna mantra. That's what the materialists think. You go out on the street, just like we were doing Harinam the other day, and you see people, you know, sometimes you see people. Of course, here it was pretty ecstatic, Harinam, the other day. But I also saw, when we were going on the street, some lady, as soon as we came near, she went like this. She was not going to contaminate her mind with the holy name. And indeed, in Belgium, at one time, not so long ago, the government, one of the commissions of the government declared the Hare Krishna movement to be a dangerous cult, specifically because they go out in the street and they chant the holy names of God, contaminate everyone's mind. The second thing that they were doing, which is really even worse, is that they're vegetarians. They're trying to destroy the economy of Belgium. Sneaky way of doing it. In any case, people, it's not the holy names that are agitating our minds. There's so many things in our heart, so many desires to enjoy in the material world, and we're attached to them, therefore we become deviated. But Krishna says, that's all right, don't worry about it, simply practice. He says there's a process, shanar shanaru paramad, buddhya dhritya grihitaya, atma samstamana kritva, na kinchit api chintaya. Gradually, step by step, with full conviction. So that's what these classes are all about. Somehow or another, getting some conviction that what we're doing is all right. We don't look like everyone else, hopefully. We don't act like everyone else, even more hopefully. We have a different conception of life than everyone else. I mean, we should have. One time Prabhupada was giving an interview in New York City, and the devotees, whatever Prabhupada said, the devotees were ecstatic, whatever Prabhupada said. And the reporter was noticing the enthusiasm of all these devotees. And he asked Prabhupada many questions, intelligent questions, and one of them he said, why your followers, they look so different. Why do they look different? And Prabhupada said they have to look different because they are different. He said, we're spiritual and you're material, so we have to look different. We have to be different. If we looked exactly like you and acted like you, then there wouldn't be any difference. But we are different because we're spiritual and you're material. So we're afraid of being different. But actually there's no reason to be afraid to be different, because Krishna consciousness will actually put us on a different platform of experience called transcendental experience. So gradually we have to come to that platform. And we have to become convinced it's not bad to go there. That Krishna is the supremely nice person, unlimitedly nice, and everyone who comes in contact with them, they become as unlimitedly nice as he is. So it's nice to go and meet unlimitedly nice people who only have good, only thinking about our welfare. With full conviction, one should become situated in trance. So we have to remain in that platform of Krishna consciousness to actually feel peaceful and happy by means of intelligence. So it takes intelligence. It's not simply blind following, or as Prabhupada said, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So it's not only trying to hear submissively, but try to understand things clearly through the process of submission, inquiries, and service. Then when we get intelligence, with full conviction, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained with full conviction. Or as Prabhupada writes in another place, enthusiasm means, the definition of enthusiasm, is intelligence, activities done with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So we have to see things clearly as we can, as clearly as we do, use our intelligence, and do that activity to please Krishna. then the result is we'll become our enthusiasm will grow to become Krishna conscious. And the more we enthusiastically become Krishna conscious, then the more Krishna reveals himself to us. It's not that Krishna walks into the room and everyone's not even paying attention to him. They go, what is he doing here, spoiling our life? I got so many other things to do. Now he's coming and he's, you know, now he's going to tell me he's God. I got to surrender to him. Doesn't he know we're trying to ignore him? Well, Krishna knows it very well. You know, and then when we become a little enthusiastic, then we try to pay a little attention. All right, you know, I've been thinking about so many things during this whole japa period, as usual. Why don't I try and think about Krishna a little bit, see what that's like? And then we try a little bit, we get a little enthusiastic to pay some attention. So that's enthusiasm. That enthusiasm to change our attention from some mundane conception to some spiritual conception. But that enthusiasm has to grow. And at the point of liberation, then it grows unlimitedly. But right now we're getting enthusiastic sometimes to be Krishna conscious. That's called sadhana bhakti, trying to fix our mind on Krishna. And then sometimes when we go outside the association of devotees, or even sometimes our mind wanders and flickers here and there, and then we lose our enthusiasm to focus our mind on Krishna. So one has to, with full conviction, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained with full conviction. And thus the mind should think of Krishna alone and nothing else. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one should withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So our mind will wander because that's the practice of sadhana bhakti. But we have to try to come back to the process again. Not to think, I thought I was the greatest devotee, and now my mind has wandered somewhere else, and people will become disillusioned, they'll become disappointed, they thought I was a Mahabhagavat, and now it's been revealed that I'm something other than that, so let's hide it. Put on a show as if I'm the greatest devotee in the world, externally, but at least no one can figure out what's really going inside internally. No, there's no need to put on a show. The real show should go on inside. That's the show we have to cultivate. The name, form, quality, and past sense of Krishna. So if we go away from it, then bring ourselves back to it. There's no loss. Simply come back to Krishna consciousness. Do what's necessary to help our minds coming back to Krishna consciousness. And then gradually we'll get an appreciation for Krishna, and then all these other desires and thoughts will seem tuchavat, more and more insignificant compared to the glories of becoming conscious of Krishna. So Krishna is compared to the sunlight. Unfortunately, we're not used to the sun. We're like owls sitting in a dark place, hearing the glories of the sun, thinking that, you know, what are they talking about? Don't they see that we're all the illuminated, we belong to the Illuminated Owls Club? We see everything perfectly. Can't you look around? This is reality. No, we have to gradually hear the glories of Krishna. And although we have to accept also that there's a big realm of difference between what we're experiencing now and what reality is. Otherwise, why would we make our goal to become Krishna conscious if we think we're already Krishna conscious? We have to understand Krishna consciousness is a great adventure, as Prabhupada once said, which requires some tapasya, some sacrifice in order to obtain. And therefore, we should realize how wonderful the goal is, and therefore we'll, and then find out what the tapasya, what the sacrifice we have to do to obtain it. And then with enthusiasm and confidence and patience, go after that goal of Krishna consciousness. And gradually our illumination will take place, and then we'll become more and more convinced that there is a Krishna, he is the goal of life, and everything else compared to him is insignificant. Tuchava. So, here it says that there are many problems going on, and that was right after Krishna left. So there are many more problems going on nowadays, so this is a great impetus to take shelter of Krishna, take shelter of the holy name, take shelter of the association of devotees, take shelter of the deities, take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, take shelter of living in a holy place and spreading the holy place everywhere by the process of distributing Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers have advised us to do. Then more easily our lives will become perfect, and other people's lives will become perfect too. So, thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
You mentioned that if you find Krishna consciousness too difficult, then step back from it for a while and then return to it later. What kind of things could you do to help yourself get back into it?
Immediately get back into it. What can you do? You can chant Hare Krishna. Pick up the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Come to see the temple, the deities in the temple. We shouldn't step back from it. No, Maya will. We step back from it because that's just what we're interested in. You know, we think, oh, I'm so doing so nicely. I'm such a great devotee. Maya says, yeah, I agree with you. You're a fantastic devotee. I've never seen a devotee like you. Now, a devotee like you deserves something special. Look what I have to offer you. So Maya will come and allure us. Yoga is chalati manasa. As soon as we try to become Krishna conscious, Maya does not say, oh, look, such a nice devotee. He's trying so hard to become Krishna conscious. I won't bother him. No, oh, look at that devotee. he or she thinks they're going to become Krishna conscious. Well, I got to look at this. I have a trick up my sleeve, up my 10,000 sleeves. Try this. Hey, not bad. What about that? Hey, that's even better. So Maya will come and try and distract us. But then when we see, oh, wait a second, this is ridiculous, then we have to withdraw our mind and bring it back into Krishna consciousness again. We have to surrender to Krishna. The other thing is, yes.
Can I just explain more what does it mean to surrender to Krishna? Because sometimes it borders with some kind of irresponsibility and like doing nothing and waiting for Krishna or something.
Yes, the old, if Krishna wants me to do it, then certainly he'll tell me. I'm just waiting for Krishna to come and tell me. It's like that devotee, what's his name? Lola Baba. Krishna, he was at the end of Govardhan Hill. Krishna was leaving for Mathura. And Lola Baba said, Krishna said, don't worry, I'll be back, I'll be right back. So Lola Baba stood there waiting for Krishna to come back. And it's been 5,000 years and Krishna still hasn't come back. So we think, oh, I'm just going to wait until Krishna tells me. No. We have to actively try to find out what Krishna wants us to do. Therefore, that's why he spoke Bhagavad Gita. That's why he gave us Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why he gave us Association of Devotees. That's why he's given us the process to find out what Krishna wants us to do. So we actively pursue what Krishna wants us to do. Then if we're in a humble way, if we think, oh, I know everything, you know. Tell me something new, Krishna. I challenge you. I already realized everything. No, in a humble way, because amadi vam, adambi vam, the first thing is humility. In a humble way, searching through pridelessness, amadi vam, adambi vam, ahimsa, non-violence towards other, shantira, peacefulness, steadily, peacefully, shantira, arjavam, with simplicity. Then, when we approach the Bhagavatam, when we approach the devotees, Then we'll be able to hear correctly. And when we hear correctly, we can actually hear what Krishna is telling us, then we'll eventually everything will become clear, and then we'll know what to do. Krishna may come and personally tell us, but if we're not really paying attention, we're not really listening, it's being filtered through our imagination, we'll misunderstand what Krishna is telling us. Even he personally comes and tells us. Therefore, unless we go through the process of devotional service and prayerfully try to understand what Krishna wants us to do, taking shelter of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and only at the point when it all becomes clear, then we'll actually know what to do. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grantharaya Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.